Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 489, nearing that 500 mark.
Yes,
it's coming up
indeedy.
Here in a couple. That's a big one. My name is John Morgan, and Cold Coffee is with me here in Las Vegas. And I'm just going to say it off the top. We got to squeeze this one in. My man's got something to do tonight. We're just going to leave it at that. Yeah, we're just going to leave it at that. Busy. He's got some things going on, so we're going to get this show done because my man's got some plans tonight. So we'll leave it at that. Cold Coffee, straight from the UFC Apex.
Yes.
I was not able to attend the media day. Last second
really?
Cancellation. Yes, I know. I don't know if
you noticed
that I wasn't
those
that.
Things.
I usually never missed it. Yeah, it's funny. We had some production calls and some other stuff going on, and it's like, I mean, I can't be like, well, no, I need to be at that. So it's kind of a last second thing. But
when's the next show?
Next week in Atlantic City. Yeah. Going to Atlantic City next week. So
I mean. How much pre-prep stuff do
you need? We got things going on, man. You know what I mean? So
you get executive director credits? I mean, what kind of credits you get on the show?
I don't.
You getting producer credits?
I should get like assistant producer. I mean, at this point,
if you're working on the weekend event, I guarantee Anik isn't on the phone discussing next week's event or something.
That's a good call. Yeah, I need to be funny. Yeah, I really don't care. But I just enjoy doing it. We had fun. We got a great show in Atlanta City next week, so we'll start to talk about that. In fact, we got to figure that one out. We'll in our next staff meeting,
yeah,
we'll have to get
meeting.
Together on
yeah,
that
yeah.
because I'm actually traveling late night Tuesday night. I'm actually taking a red eye Tuesday night, so I get there Wednesday to Philly, then we drive to Atlantic City. We're actually gonna do like a we're talking about if the weather's gonna hold up. We're talking about maybe doing like a ceremonial weigh-ins out on the Atlantic City boardwalk.
Wow, that's
so, that'd be cool. We did one like that kind of very early on when I was with them.
That's like a fingers crossed for the weather type
thing. If the weather's good, yeah, exactly. If it's not raining, but that'd be cool because you get like the just the people that are walking along. So you get all the fans and the families and stuff, but then
that's
you get just
fun.
Like random people that are just like, "What's going on here?
What's
all this about?"
Well, I know a lot of MMA fans now don't like watching fights unless they could see fans anyway. So I'm sure that they'll be the ones that are clamoring to watch this content because they're like, "There's people,
fired. There's
people there."
Shots fired.
Well,
that was...
we'll get to it later on because there's going to be plenty of road time. It seems.
Well, let's just jump into it. I mean, you're
might
coming
as well.
Straight from the Apex, and I was just going to ask you if maybe you were taking it in a little bit. Maybe you were kind of walking the halls and being like, "Oh, I remember this corner here," and "Oh man, this hallway over here."
Yeah.
Sounds like I mean, listen, I shouldn't say we're not going to get much Apex because we got Dana White's Contender Series launching,
which you're going to miss next Tuesday.
I'm going to miss the first one.
No.
I'm going to make that one. I'm going to go to that one.
And then straight to the airport?
And then straight to the airport afterwards.
Oh, okay.
I'm actually not leaving until like midnight. It's not even straight to the airport.
Oh, yeah, you've got plenty of time.
So I'm going to do week one of the Contender Series, but week two I'm not going to be able to make because I'm actually flying out to Washington, D.C. that day to catch the PFL event, which we'll talk about PFL in a little bit too. But so we are going to get plenty of the Apex here in the next 2 months or so.
Yeah.
But it's
going back to today,
sounding an awful lot.
The media room rumors, the updates, which nobody's really – so we've talked a bit there. So I know I put out a tweet before that had showed some construction on the front side where they had gutted out a bunch of the pavement there for an expansion of the Apex. And as far as we are initially sort of hearing – was they were going to build out restrooms, box office, and maybe sort of just take where we would normally put our weigh-in stuff and maybe slide some of that stuff over,
okay.
You know, and it gives the possibility for expansion. But we've never really sort of heard that they were going to change anything. It was always just about, hey, adding bathrooms and adding whatever. But now...
And I actually, by the way, I put in an interview request. I was like, is there anybody that can talk about it?
Yeah.
You know, just like, I don't know who it would be. I don't know if it would be... Tim O'Toole or who would be, but I said, can I talk to somebody so that they, because I'm sure fans want to know what's going on.
Yeah.
As much as people talk about the Apex, they definitely want to know what's going on with the Apex, right?
Yeah.
but I was told it was too early in the project that they didn't want to talk about it yet, but maybe we'll talk about it later.
Yeah.
But the The buzz on the ground.
But was initially supposed to be, I want to say it was going to be 4 months, I think, before it was done, I think. Or was it 4 weeks? It was a shorter time period of the time it was going to be, you know, closed to finish this. But now the current rumor mural that was passed along between a few of us there was that
The scuttlebutt.
It was supposed to be initially after the end of Dana White Contender Series, they're going to close the Apex for 8 months. And now I'm hearing that possibly there will be one more event in November in the Apex, and then they will close the Apex until next Contender Series, which is, if it's around this time frame,
about
is August.
Months.
So it'd be 8-9 months by the time. So it's still keeping around the 8 month time frame, but it's changing it from what was initially we heard after Contender Series, it was going to be closed to like June.
Yep.
Now, if they're following along the lines of they want to keep it open for one more possible event, that's going to put, and they're waiting back until Contender Series. Say if it's in August, you know, we're getting another 9 months, maybe 9.5 months, depending on when that event happens. So for all these people that have been saying like, oh, the Apex can't have decent shows because it doesn't know the layout. If you're talking about 8 months construction,
that's significant.
That is huge.
Yeah, you can do a lot in 8 months.
They literally could get the whole building out, which you never know. They might, because if they're expanding on what right now is in the room, there's offices above the current space where I believe, or is it spaced out? No, maybe it does wrap around it. Maybe it does wrap around where the actual flooring. Maybe there isn't offices immediately above the room. But for them to expand out, there might be the point where they're actually moving the office space up there. But with this much time to build it out, you literally could almost gut the entire building.
Mm-hmm.
But the potential of what this could do is, you know, outside, you know, everybody's always just saying Apex, 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 you know, about UFC, UFC. But we've seen NXT have their shows there.
Yep.
And now with the partnership, they've done an SLS event in there.
Street League skateboarding.
You know, so there's all these other possibilities. And let alone just being able to rent the building out to somebody else to bring their production inside.
Yeah.
A lot of these things that we've seen now, we've seen comedy shows that went through there. Music acts have went through there. All sort of private little shows, but all of it was done with a test in theory to see if it could actually work.
Yeah.
But if you put a proper box office in there with enough restrooms to cover through the plumbing code regulations, the potential to put events on there goes through the roof.
Which is such a weird thing, because I don't know if that was an oversight or somebody just wasn't thinking through when they approved the initial plans. But I guess the initial plans didn't include it being such a major event facility. But for anybody that doesn't know, like, there's literally, like, for, you know, for the shows, there's one bathroom available to the public. It only has, like, the men's room. I've never been in the women's room, obviously, but the men's room only has, like, one urinal and one stall, right? So the women's
room. So, two, like, two, what they would call two water closets, where it's an enclosed.
There you go. Yeah, it is two.
So
yeah,
there's
two.
There's one stand-up stall and two water closets. So
the women's room
probably has three.
That's it. And like, do the lines get...
Yeah.
Bad.
You're supposed to, I want to say, now, depending on the regulations, and I know I have a sheet that I saved somewhere. For an auditorium, the breakdown is different, because if you don't have fixed seating, it's different than if it's an actual arena that has fixed seating. So if it's a non-fixed seating auditorium area, I want to say it's one water closet per.
Which,
like,
is why they were able to get away with it, right? Because
the
seating is not fixed in there. They always bring in the chairs.
So they were able to play it a little bit better than if it was actually like a fixed fixed venue. But even then, I want to say it was like you're supposed to have one water closet per like 75 people.
Just look at
this
report, bro. When I met you, you were like a humble little videographer carrying your camera around and just pointing it at stuff and hitting record. Look at you. Now you're breaking it. Civic codes, and I mean, let's go.
You know, I'm going to the commission hearings.
Wow.
You know, they're like, "What's up?" You know, but so it's interesting. But I know a lot of people didn't want to really sort of go on the record, because, you know, we teased about it earlier. You know, when some of these rumors gets out, you know, some of the execs and powers are like, "You guys don't know what the hell you're talking about." But it seems like everything's trending in the way that it is quite possible. And we've seen, now that we're seeing some construction happen, if you're gonna close down for any point to do any sort of construction, go big. Just do it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's at a perfect time for them,
so
where
true.
It normally would go. But for people that have been saying, like, we need the UFC to be on the road, stop doing these Apex shows, you know, be prepared for what you're wishing for.
Because
You know, it's going to be crazy for one of the traveling media that actually try to go a lot of these things. You're going to have way too many things. You're going to have to really start budgeting out what events you want to go to. But, you know, the poor UFC staff, which already now works crazy hours, yes. You know, and I know it's never changed since when I was back there. Now these poor souls are going to be, you know, never seeing their house, never seeing their friends and family. They're going to be on the road a lot. So for people that are saying like, oh, I hate Apex shows because you're not seeing fans. If this does in fact happen, you're going to have plenty of shows. For it to go all the way till the next Contender Series, 9 months of road, that's crazy.
You would think a lot would be done in that time.
It's going to be interesting. I wonder if as many as the.
So you heard a show in November would be the last one.
That's according to our today's water, water cooler talk.
Or that was all the scuttlebutt around the water cooler. Because I had actually heard December 7th was the planned date for a pay per view in Vegas, and then December 14th.
No, Vegas is different.
No, and then December 14th.
Would be an Apex.
But maybe they're going to move that December 14th show. So maybe they found a venue for December 14th and they're going to take it on the road somewhere. But yeah, that's what I had originally heard. But obviously, that stuff can always change. I mean, they've always got multiple possibilities in their ground. Let's go ahead and move forward on that. So
well, even like, I was looking at today, you know, the original talk at one point was November 9th was going to be UFC 309 in Madison Square Garden. Mm-hmm. Now the talk is the 16th. I even looked today, you know, it just happened to come up when I was Googling something, and I saw that November 9th is already booked for, I want to say, David Gilmour.
Yeah,
has like
right.
like five different shows going on over there or something like that. So that's that ninth date wasn't even, you know, isn't going to happen. So if the 16th is going to happen, you know, maybe that ninth, the weekend of the ninth that they wanted would be a Vegas one. Mm. Or you have the days available. There's a November 2nd, 9th, 23rd, and the 30th, if you're not counting the 16th as possible dates, should it even happen. I mean, like, who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, that's, I think, one of the lucky parts in their end of having the Apex. They don't have to, like, reach out months in advance to try to find a place. I think they probably try, and then if they can't, they can always fall back.
Yeah, what a great luxury, right? Yeah. Well, we'd like to take it down the road, but if we can't,
we have
got the Apex, we can
we
do our shows.
It's fully decked out to put on and broadcast things. So, I mean, it makes a lot of sense, but if it does happen, I mean, that's huge. That's big,
crazy
news.
That'll be a very interesting 2025.
It's going to be nuts. I mean,
For us here.
I mean, I like the Apex. It's a quick little thing. But when you think about how long we've been doing this since, 2020, 21, when they started doing like the Apex show?
Right.
2020 is when everything closed down and everything. And I can't remember if that's when we opened back up, because that was the year that I had my surgery. And maybe we did open back up. Maybe it was by the end of 2020 that we were doing Apex shows. Oh, yes, it was, because we were out in the tents.
Yeah, May 2020. Yep, yeah, oh, yeah. I remember all the COVID tests and all the.
So to think that there's a potential.
Wow,
I mean, this is how long we've been doing just Apex crap. Like, you know, when I say crap, I'm not seeing crap, but all this Apex stuff, all these events nonstop for 4 fucking years. And then to think that, okay, it's not even going to be in the rotation for a potential almost a
year. Well, at that point, you wouldn't find another venue in Vegas, right? I mean,
I don't know why they would.
Especially with the way Dana's talking about with MGM right now. It's going to be like, oh, well, we got Mandalay over here for you. Like,
I'm sure he's got to squash that.
F
like,
you.
If anything, at this point, it's probably already done.
Yeah.
You know, like, I imagine that week he was probably, like, fired up, and then afterwards was just like, well, whatever. You know, I'm sure they had talks and do whatever. Because it's not like he can go without it. It's not like T-Mobile needs,
They own all the venues here. I was actually talking to Eric McMahon about this earlier in the week.
MGM?
Because
what are they going to do? Go to Mandalay? Because they own the Mandalay too, right?
They own the MGM. Yeah. They own the Mandalay. They own every viable, you know.
Outside the Sphere and the Legion.
That's it. So, I mean, like, unless you're going to go do a stadium show or you're going to do the Sphere every time. So, I mean, I'm sure, I thought the same thing. They're going to have to get over that and they're going to have to make up for it. So.
But if it happens, it's gonna be interesting. So again, it's all rumor mill. It's all scuttlebutt, as you said. I haven't heard that.
I haven't heard that term
in forever. But who knows? I mean, don't put us on the record for it. But you know, for the diehards that are listening to this, when it does happen, you heard it here first.
There you go.
Don't let Mike Bond tell you that he did it first. I'm just kidding, Mike. If you're listening to this, Mike, I'm just kidding.
Shots fired. All right, well, listen. Real quick, I just want to get any last thoughts you had of last week's card. Obviously, I broke it all down on the and a half episode for everybody over at patreon.com/MMAroadshow. But any last thoughts? I mean, I thought, man, I thought Umar Nurmagomedov, if there were ever any doubts, like he's good. And I'll be honest with you, man, I really, really, really – now, I don't know how it's going to play out, but the thing that I walked away from that, I want to see Umar Nurmagomedov and Merab Dvalishvili in the worst way possible. Like, I think the stylistic matchup between those two dudes would be incredible to watch.
Yeah, I think it'd be a lot of fun. I mean, I think a lot of people were saying that Umar, you know, I think they were saying he didn't have the gas tank, that Corey was going to be able to put him out, and I thought he looked great. I thought he had a very smart plan. That's a great win. That's a huge win on his record to beat Corey like that. I thought Shara, he showed up. You know, I know a lot of people were questioning whether he was all hype. I mean, he showed up.
I'm torn on Shara.
I can see he's good.
He's fun. Like, you're not going to –
you still feel like he's growing. You still feel like there's room to grow.
I want to watch a fight. Like, don't get me wrong. The dude, if you're putting him on a card, I'm tuning in, right? Yeah. I mean, he's got the weird look and the style, and he's fun the way he fights. So I'm down for him. But as far as, like, predicting future greatness, whatever, like literally anytime Mikhail Oleksaychuk tried to wrestle a little bit, he took him down.
Yeah.
But because Mikhail just loves throwing bombs too, like, he wouldn't wrestle until, like, the last 20 seconds of rounds.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know it's maybe not as fun. It was a fun fight. So I'm in a weird place with Shara because I want to watch him fight, but I'm not sold that, like, this dude's going to be some future champion. Normally, if a guy's 14-0 in the UFC, you're like, oh, we got to be talking about this guy, you know? And I feel like it's more just like a fun attraction.
Yeah, because it's teetering on that thing where I can see where people think that maybe he reminds you of some of the guys that we really hyped up that just sort of fizzled. Like, one of the names that popped to mind is like Zabit. I mean, everybody for a while was like, Zabit's going to run through people, and everybody was high on him, and then he just dropped off.
That's one of the weirdest stories
ever.
It was
so crazy. I mean, it's just like, I don't understand it. Yeah.
Don't like doing this.
But like, sure, I think he has definitely a lot of great potential. It was good to see him get a win. That's a huge win.
It was.
I mean, that's good on him.
Tough dude.
But yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people are still like on the fence of him, but I thought it was a good showing. I loved the Vera Figueiredo fight. I did pick
Devson looks good at 135.
He does, but man, I thought, did I give it in my brain? And I think in my brain I was giving it to Vera, but I think obviously I was very biased because I picked him. But I thought it was good. I thought it was a tough task, but I mean, I think a lot of people, I know a staff, certainly made it sort of seem like they thought Davison, you know, granted, he's done really well at this division. I think some people thought he was just going to run through Marlon. I was like, dude, you forget who Marlon is?
Yeah.
Like,
Marlon's
a dog, you know.
Davison does look good, though.
He does look good.
He does look
good.
And I know he's calling for a title shot. Obviously, I think Umar deserves it beforehand. Davison's kind of new to it. But I'm telling you, and I'm not saying –
I don't hate on him calling out for it.
Oh, I don't.
I mean, any former champ should be calling out the champ of any
100%.
Division, especially if you're on a win streak.
My ideal scenario, because the way – look, Sean O'Malley can absolutely beat Merab Dvalishvili. Like, I can't wait for that fight. Sphere, obviously, man, we're creeping up to that. That's going to be amazing. But if Merab wins, because I really want to see Merab and Umar, I would like to see Sean O'Malley and Davison Figueiredo too.
That would be a fun
one. That would be a hell of a fight too, man.
That'd be really
right?
fun.
And I know that would mean that if you're a Sean O'Malley fan, I'm saying that he would have to lose, I guess, probably to get that fight. But, damn, I think that would be a fun fight.
Yeah. And, I mean, of course, you know, the Tony Ferguson fight. I mean, the weird sort of retirement, not retirement at the end of it.
I love Tony Ferguson. I'm leaving one glove down.
Yeah. I mean, but that one, again, I know that was a fight that was, you know, we talked beforehand, that was definitely one that made us anxious. And I mean, that was just one of those ones that watching, I was like, please. I was just glad that he didn't get busted up and didn't get crazy bloody or whatever, you know, but I was really surprised how quickly it did end. I know some people said, you know, like, it'd been, when was the last time Tony had got finished in a first round or something, you know, and just see sort of thing. I mean, did it even look like a decent performance? Because I've never felt like we got to see him, like, even get started.
Not really.
And it didn't even feel like Chiesa had to really work for it. It was just like one of those fights where I remember feeling afterwards, I was like, whew, I'm glad it's over, you know.
Yeah.
But I remember at the end, I was like, that was kind of weird. But
it was.
When I saw the gloves off, I was like, okay, here's what we thought was going to happen. And then, of course, you know, Tony finds a way to make it to where he's like, no, y'all, I'm not done. But, you know, maybe not.
Credit to Michael Chiesa, too, by the way. Obviously, you know, that was a big win for him because he's admitted, you know, like, their retirement might have been looming. So that was a big – but for him to just be like, I cede my time.
Yeah, that was
here you go, man.
You know, I think that just speaks to volumes to, you know, who Michael is to recognize that, you know. So good on him. And I guess last one out, well, I guess I'll touch quickly. Yoel Alvarez, amazing.
That dude's so good.
Dude, it's crazy. The kid's got so much potential.
I agree.
It's sick, man. The guy's
he's so good. I feel like he's one of those guys that people, cuz he's had some amazing performances, but he's had a long time off and you know, I think people kind of forgot about his name, and I feel like this was the performance where people were like, ooh, who's that guy?
That kid, man, I'm telling you, he just presses forward, and he's sharp. His striking skills were fantastic, and he brings power as well. But, yeah, that guy is scary. And Dern,
is Danny Segura crowning him future champion yet?
Oh, he's already in love. He's already – before right as soon as the fight ended, I was like, oh, wait, how long till I see a Segura tweet? And it came out pretty shortly after.
I love
that.
He's always backing these Spanish speakers.
Oh,
man.
My Lord.
Ablamos MMA is championing. I had a feeling.
Loves it.
A feeling he was going to be the Ablamos MMA Fighter of the Year Award. So.
Yeah, easily. And then I thought the Loopy McKenzie.
That fight was fun, right?
That was
just great matchmaking.
Yeah,
stylistically, that was fun. It was a good card. It was a fun card. It was
a
really good
fun card.
I love those early morning fights as well. Man, that was fun starting out first thing in the morning. So we'll talk about Media Day, but I guess while we're talking about Fighter of the Year Award, hey, how about the World MMA Awards are out. The nominations are out. Congratulations to your cohorts. Nolan King,
Nolan
a nomination
King
again.
Back in there. I think is that 2 years in a row?
2 years in a row, I believe. Obviously, the team as a whole nominated as Media Outlet of the Year. So, and the streak comes to an end for one John Morgan. 14 years straight.
We knew it was coming. You had a hell of a run. You know.
I did. I will say, because it was a weird thing. Like, I was collecting. So for the we have a panel of experts at Fighters Only. So I'm starting to work with these guys now, and Rob Hewitt, who I've always behind the scenes, like, you know, gave my thoughts or whatever on the awards every year. But this time I was like, well, I don't have any conflicts of interest now. Like, I could just come work for you guys if you want and help out. And Rob was like, man, we would love that. So come on, let's do that. So I was helping collect. Alan Murphy did this last year, but he's working with Glory full-time now, so he was unable to help out. But getting feedback from, like, media members and, you know, peers, basically. So it's not just, you know, you've got this panel of experts, but then the media knows the media better than this panel of experts does. So let the media vote, right?
Who says that they're really experts?
Right, exactly. and so the media gets consulted, and they turn in a list. And then with thank you to everybody that voted. And there were a lot of nominations with my name on it. But two things. Number one, I was like, well, I'm collecting it. Like, they could just be putting my name on here because they don't want me to be mad or, like, think, you know what I mean? Like, because I don't want to make this awkward, so let me put John's name on here, you know what I mean? And truthfully, while I'm still involved in reporting and journalism, it is not my full-time position by any stretch anymore. And so better to just shed some light on some new names.
Just let the youngins have it.
So it was hard for me to do that. I'll be honest with you. It's hard for me to see the streak end. But it is cool to now be a bigger part of the awards. Because I know people criticize sometimes. I know you criticize sometimes.
I was like, no.
I like the World MMA Awards, and I always have. I've enjoyed them from the time that they first been, you know, the inception of it. And I think that it is a cool thing for our sport that, you know, they try to do this and put on these fun events, man. They are really cool events if you ever want to come and attend. But anyway, so everybody go to worldmmaawards.com/vote now, or you can just go to worldmmaawards.com and you'll see the link there. But I was – wow, look at this. I'm not even going to reveal what just happened in here. SPCA might come over here and intervene. Well –
no, he. My cat gets in a point where he wants to interject himself, so he just got a. He just caught a sock up.
It was really a sock. So I think he's fine. but it was funny to see. You're just like chunked it. Pretty good accuracy with the sock there, by the way.
Left arm.
The left hand too, man. It was nice. so go over there and vote at worldmmaawards.com. There is a new nomination this year in the commentator of the year. Before there was not that. There was analyst of the year, but then it was determined, you know, there's really kind of different roles, commentator and
like
analyst.
You set that one up there for yourself in there. You
sir,
kind of
I didn't.
That
was, sir, that
I
was
mean,
already added
out.
In
I'm
there.
I'm just helping in. I backed out of one, and I gave my – feedback that possibly there should be a commentator.
That was determined before I was on board, sir. I will let it be known that was already determined before I was involved.
From the panel of experts.
But, I mean, you know, if we end up there in the future. No,
that's awesome.
It would be cool, actually. That would be pretty cool, right, to be nominated there today. But, I mean, we're talking about some powerhouses in there. You got
That's true.
Annex and the Goodens and the Fitzgeralds and the Dolores Sanko, who made her pay-per-view debut during the role. Yeah. And, of course,
if she's on the panel, she gets my vote.
Sean O'Connell in there as well, though. What about the real OC? What about Sean O'Connell?
As opposed to picking Laura?
Come on, give the real OC some love. He's doing the rock, paper, scissors at the face-offs and binking people's noses.
I respect him.
I tell you what, too, the analyst of the year category. So now that it's divided up, I really do, I did not have anything to do with it, but I'm glad that they did this. But the analyst of the year category is nice, too, because number one, Dean Thomas is in there. I think he was a real deserving. Cool. Dan Hardy, Michael Bisping, Paul Felder, kind of the familiar names. But Saif Saud as well was nominated by the panel.
That's great.
And, man, that UFC breakdown, to be honest, programming of the year, I think that should have been on the list there. I think that that breakdown that he does with Brendan Fitzgerald, it is really, really good. So
yeah, that's awesome. Like I said, as much as I'll tease it, you know, and I'll say it always again, you know, it's a glorified popularity contest to me, but I do I am happy for the people that get nominated and that really get into it. And I know I was teasing Nolan. I was like, congrats on getting nominated for that popularity contest. And he was like, thanks. I mean, what?
He didn't know that you were talking trash to him.
No, but no, it is great. I'm glad that to see Junkie in there and stuff, but you know, I know most people that go to it usually just go for the open bar, you know.
This is true. This is why I'll be there. I was joking with Oscar.
That's the same thing when I saw Oscar. We were working on. He was like, "Yeah, I can't wait." He's like, "I finally get to go back to the open bar." I was like, "Yeah, see, you stop criticizing, they'll invite you back."
I specifically told him, "Don't make me kick you out." But it was funny. I was joking with him. I was actually reaching out to him to let him know that, hey, by the way, congratulations on your personal nomination and your company as well. And I was joking with him. I was like, I think this is I'm working there. I was like, I think that means I get access to the free drink tickets. So like, so my open bar stays open later.
Yeah, right. I'll be your plus one.
So we'll have details on that later, getting everything finalized in terms of when the actual awards will be. But yes, in the meantime, the voting is open until September 30th. So go vote now. It's for July 1st. To June 30th.
So, you're saying you could pull some strings and get the roadshow up there on some of the content thingies.
I can't just put stuff up there. There's a panel.
I think you should put it forth in front of the experts.
So what you're saying is, John, that was the right decision to pull yourself out of the pool, but put our show in.
Put our show in.
Okay, thanks.
See?
Look at the double standard, the hypocrisy around here.
No, I'm just saying, if you're going to take out of one, might as well just put it into another.
So the World MMA Awards, go vote, if you will. All right, before we talk about UFC real quick, because while I did not attend, I did watch your incredible high-definition 4K stream. It was very nice. The audio was crisp and lovely.
Luckily, the Wi-Fi stayed solid.
The Wi-Fi stayed solid.
It still, every once in a while, gives me some issues, and I'm like, did we not get over this in this now $14 billion company or whatever it is? I'm like, can we get some internet?
Maybe we need to let them know, hey, at some point in the 8 months while this thing is closed, can you
fix
like,
the
get internet in here that works all
hard
the time?
Lines, like, I'd love it if they had hardline connections.
Dude, do you remember that when we walked in to the Apex for the first time,
and there were
just like hundreds of
the
hard lines, and we were like, oh, hell yeah. And they're like, oh, no, those don't work.
We're like, oh, wow. That was exciting for a moment.
We were like, oh, yes, we're going to have hard lines the whole time.
Wanting to plug every one in my computer. I was like, I'm going to find the fastest one. And they're like, no, those don't work. They just go to a box up there and on the wall.
I'm like,
that's not connected to anything. Can't
you connect that box to something?
Like, can we do something?
I'm
sure they did eventually, but yeah, it was funny that, yeah, we literally went in there thinking it was like the greatest thing ever, and they're like, no. We haven't fully changed the building.
It was bundles of cable.
It was all the leftover from the company that was there before.
Scientific Games, if I remember correctly.
That's what it was.
Scientific Games.
Yes, indeed.
Which was Scientific Games, but it was slot machines. When you hear games, not like video games.
Yeah, like the in-bar ones and stuff like that. Yeah, very cool.
All right, so before we talk about UFC real quick in the media day, I guess the news is out, finally official, PFL. Big announcement for PFL. As far as I could tell, I don't think they announced a location, if I'm reading the press release right, but I thought it was going to be in Saudi Arabia, but I don't know if maybe that's up for grabs or maybe they just wanted to change that later, but I didn't see Saudi Arabia listed anywhere in there. Or any other location in the press release. But Francis Ngannou versus Hennan Fajeda.
There's a fight happening.
Yeah, and it's Going to be on DAZN. I don't know what time.
Wouldn't be surprised if they want to. They're trying to work a South Africa event and just try to surprise the world and be the first to do one there, just to one up
the UFC.
Because you know they love doing that shit. But at least because wasn't it Bellator that beat them over into
France?
France,
yeah. Wow. I mean, that's what co-leaders do.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. They got to one up them. That would be funny.
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised.
Saudi Arabia.
Oh. I mean, Saudi Arabia, I could get it because obviously there's close ties.
Is this problems? Is this problems with them saying, we had your back, and then we saw the UFC, and we kind of liked the UFC a little bit more.
They were just trying to get one deciding between one and the other. I could see that. But, I mean, you know, they're just printing.
Let me just say, that is zero knowledge of any word. I just want to make that clear to anybody that's listening. I have not heard anything of any problems. I've heard these are our partners. I know that Saudi Arabia has given them a bunch of money. I know that, you know, they launched the PFL MENA so that, you know, they had the – so I'm not hearing that. But it is curious. You know Saudi Arabia would want to be tied in.
I guarantee when they're putting this money – I mean, I know as much as we all joke and tease about how they have money to burn, they can literally just – put on these crazy events without regard to how the actual turnout from an event is, you know, as in terms of like return on investment, like are they seeing millions of views? And I guarantee if they had to look at what they got from like a PFL event as opposed to some of the UFC events, not that the UFC did gangbusters, but I'm sure they were happy with the numbers and happy with whatever. And then going forward, at some point, if they can't sustain two, which I don't see why they couldn't sustain two, they got plenty of money over there to put on two different things and to schedule it, especially as much as Saudi Arabia and Riyadh season wants to be this new sports capital, they're going to need content. So I don't see why they would stop using any organization that's made the trip over there, because I think now that they have that relationship, as long as you didn't burn that relationship, they would want to get it to the point where they're doing stuff weekly.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, so I mean, like if that's the case, I don't see why they would stop doing anything. And the only reason I just said South Africa is I feel like we just recently heard stuff about, you know, the South African thing that Francis was heading up, you know, was starting up or something along those lines. And it's about one up in the UFC. You know, I can see where they would want to one up something. But again, who knows? It could be over in Saudi Arabia. It could be wherever, you know. At this point, it needs to be someplace spectacular, because I think this is the fight that people have been waiting for a while, just the actual debut of Francis, more so than just Francis versus
anybody out there. Yeah,
it's Francis, you know, so I think they want to get the most bang from where Francis fights, and that's why I was thinking maybe Saudi Arabia or something, or not Saudi Arabia, but South Africa.
That would be interesting, man. By the way, and of course, also worth mentioning, of course, Chris Cyborg, right, Larissa Pacheco.
I was like stumbling on his name. I was like,
Well, that's what I was going to circle back and ask you. So I was like I said, it's worth mentioning Cyborg and Pacheco as well. That's going to be a great fight. Pacheco is a much improved fighter over her time in the UFC. She's done some amazing things. And
it's a tough fight.
She has the power to match Cyborg, especially Cyborg. This is Cyborg later in her career, right? This is not necessarily.
That's when we said, like, when Cyborg of now is different than Cyborg of 4 or 5 years ago, that was just literally walking through these people. Like, Larissa is like what Cyborg was doing.
So that's going to be a good fight. But let me, I mean, yo, Hena Fajeda, I mean, he could win this fight.
Oh, 100%.
You know what I mean?
I mean, that's all he's been
doing. I think a lot of people are just
like, all he's been doing since then has been training MMA.
It's because it's funny, because you're 100% right in terms of the marketing, and it's all about Francis, right? Yeah. Francis is the star, and it absolutely is. But as far as the fight goes, like, I'm not assuming anything in that fight.
Yep.
Hennen is dangerous.
Yep.
Big, he's strong, huge. He's athletic. Powerful.
Yep. I mean, the last time we saw Francis, his takedown defense was leaps and bounds from what it was before, because he was working on it like nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
What has he been working on now nonstop?
And boxing.
It's been his boxing, his hands. I'm sure his hands and his timing of his striking is fantastic. But if you haven't been drilling takedown defense and you haven't been working on your jiu-jitsu and you haven't been working on the other stuff, it's going to have faltered. And I don't fault him for it. You can only focus on one particular thing at any particular point. And at that time, it's been boxing. That's been his bread and butter. It's where he just made crap loads of money, and he's made his team crap loads of money. And good on him, you know. But, yes, to step back in there to arguably one of the most dangerous fighters in the game right now. That is fast. He's strong. I mean, it's not like he's just like, even like say like I love Derek Lewis, strong, powerful. But when you question, a lot of people question, you know, his the overall energy level, his right. speed, and the other stuff. You know what you're going to get from Derek. It's that power. Hennen is a complete fucking beast, man. He's so fast. He's so powerful. And he just, he's got so much left into the game. He's just still getting, I feel like he's just getting started. You know, like his star power and his skill set. I mean, he is dangerous.
So betonline.ag, they send out lines. Now,
I would be wary if it's, because, you know, I think, Francis has so much star power. Before you give me, because I think he has so much star power. I wouldn't be surprised if the lines right now wouldn't start something like minus 350 plus 250 or something.
You're actually spot on. Minus 350 and plus 285.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, you nailed it. So
I'm telling you, man.
Minus 350. Now, that's here's crazy. What's interesting.
For people looking for dog bites, so, dog picks, take that.
So in the email that they sent out against betonline.ag, they open at minus 350. By the time they sent the email out, it was already bet down to minus 305.
Wow.
And plus, and Fajeda started at plus 285, and it had already been bet down to plus 255. So the early money absolutely came in on that. And
that's smart.
Yeah, I mean, at plus, like, at, even at, I mean, at plus 285, at plus 255, have to take that.
Yep, that's still giving so much credit to Francis. I mean, I understand and get it why people are doing it, but for people that, I think that's, one, I mean, there's always the potential that, you know, Hennen could show, just maybe not show up for them. Maybe the lights, maybe the things, you know, throw him off. But, I mean, we've seen this kid. I don't see that happening to him.
Either.
I mean, I think he's been thinking about this date and wanting this fight forever. So the fact that it's going to come, I think he's going to be so prepared. He's going to be so energetic. I think he's going to do all the right things. If it, in our minds, I would say it's a pick 'em.
Yeah. I would, too.
I think it's a pick-em.
So if you can get plus 250, like, jump all over that. Care to take a stab at opening lines for Cyborg and Pacheco?
Oh, man. So many people are high on – well, I could see where maybe Pacheco, she's proven herself. Is she the favorite?
She's not.
Okay. Then I would say – maybe Cyborg, maybe oh, gosh, I can see this being completely wrong. I mean, minus 225.
Lower, actually. So it's more of a pick'em. It's not a pick'em, but Chris Cyborg minus 150, Larissa Pacheco plus 130. So
that's good.
That's a lot of respect. And, that, and I think that's pretty accurate, that's a lot of respect for Pacheco.
I can see where it could be on the flip side of that for sure. I mean, I think the people that are that know Pacheco know how dangerous she is. Cyborg carries so much weight in her name. I mean, like, it's just crazy. For the longest time, she's just been this monumental force, and with reason. I mean, like, she's absolutely fantastic. And there were even some times when we saw her falter a little bit, but then she's got back on this crazy run of just, like, performing so at such a high level. But, boy, this is night and day. I mean, Pacheco is a beast, man. She is a beast. I wouldn't be surprised if the odds flip by the time that it's and the money, I guess the money would be what drives it. I think I wouldn't be surprised if it flips by the time the fight happens. I think Pacheco should be the favorite going into it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like to hear that. Who's your women's GOAT, Cyborg or Amanda Nunes?
Oh, man.
It's hard, right?
Even then, I mean, like, I guess if I had to think back to who made them, that's tough. Because I put Cyborg for what she was in that time frame. I'm very nostalgic with her, so I put her on a pedestal kind of for the time period of where she was at. She's like a pioneer in the sport.
She only lost once. It's weird because it's really – I go back and forth on this. This is what – because, like, to me, like, I've always said, like, John Jones to me is the male GOAT. Like, to me, he's the male GOAT. Female, I go back and forth on it because part of it could be like, well, I mean, they went head-to-head in their primes, and Amanda knocked her out.
I was
going
to say, it's hard to discount that,
Amanda Nunes had a great close to her career, but she did lose a handful of times. Cyborg just lost it once. Yeah. You know, I mean, she did lose early. She lost her very first professional fight. That was 2005. In the last 18 years, you know, she's 27-1, but the one loss is to Amanda Nunes. Yeah. So I go back and forth on that one. I feel like you can craft either argument and be right.
And I think it's just and it's the fine details of what every person wants. Like if you're coming on just like the performance Of course, yeah, you can't discount that when it's fighter versus fighter, you can't discount, you know, who beat the other. But
right.
In terms of, you know, like, but say if you want to change it and say, like, who made the most impact on the sport, I think it's hard to discount what, like, Cyborg has done. And same thing, if you want to say the GOAT, who impacted the sport more, the most for women's sport, how do you say it's not like a Ronda?
Absolutely.
You know, for as
for I know drip, people, for I know when people
eyeballs,
get mad about that,
but that's different. It's different than when saying, like, of course there's the head to head, but when you're talking about just like in skill set, yes, that's one thing. But if you want to talk about who was maybe the biggest star, maybe that's a better phrasing.
Yeah.
Who was the biggest star in the sport?
By
far,
somebody
would say Ronda's the GOAT.
Yeah.
It just depends on what you're sort of like categorizing.
It's
and
not.
What you're
it's not
breakdown.
Like if they went in a room, who would come out? That's it.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? I was watching.
We saw that one.
I was watching Dana's interview with Kevin Ioli, and he was talking about the rankings and how it's dumb that John Jones is number three, and it just shows.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because he's like, if you debate me, like, you don't know anything about sport. And, like, I started to reach out to him and be like, I actually want to have this debate with you. And now I'm like, it's not worth it. Like, because it's not like you're ever going to sit there. Like, I think it would actually be fun because, I do think John Jones is the GOAT, but I don't think he's number one pound for pound right now because I feel like activity matters. You got to reward somebody that's racking up wins, you know? And, but, you know, I started thinking about it. I was like, that would be kind of fun. But I'd actually had a couple cocktails, as you might imagine, when I was having this thought.
Oh, yeah,
but
yeah.
I was like, and then I started to think about it. I'm like, it's not like Dana would ever be like, that's a good point. You know what?
No.
You're right. So it's like, what's the point? Like, what would be the
he will die on that sword.
100%.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, he set the categories in his mind for what he's basing it upon, and that's what he's going to go off. And everybody has their things, and it's about trying to convince somebody to agree with your exact points, and that's the point that's never
of something
never
that's hypothetical,
happen,
right?
Of something that's hypothetical.
So how can it?
You know, but it's interesting because when you're talking about performance base, you can say that about Cyborg and Amanda because we saw that fight.
I know that's what
they
makes
were
it
definitely
hard.
At different time frames in their careers as well, you know. But I think Amanda and some of them, you look at them like, what female athlete didn't look at Cyborg and want to model themselves after her in terms of, like, the domination and what she was able to do? I think every one of them was just, like, aspiring to be her. You know, you know, they say you got to beat the GOAT to be the GOAT or whatever. She was the one everybody was aspiring for. But it's funny, when you first said the GOAT, my initial thought was, like, my first crush, and that would have been Marlus Kunin.
Marlus Kunin?
She was one of my first MMA crushes. I was like, I love her.
She's so nice.
Oh, she was the absolute sweetest person. I remember the first time I met her at LFC, but it was an Invicta fight in Kansas City. I was there working. Me and Laura Gilbert went there, and we were sitting out there, and she knew I loved Marlus. And she was like, here, come take a picture. I was like, okay. Like,
that's awesome.
I was like, my life is complete. I had my MMA crush.
She still does like Dutch broadcast, or at least she did. The last time I checked, she was doing like Dutch broadcasting.
Something like that, yeah.
I remember I think it must have been a Bellator event that I saw her at, because maybe it was a UFC event. But I remember the last time I saw her, and she was like handing out Stroop waffles. You know what I mean? Like, she's so nice.
Awesome.
You know, she's just bringing like little Dutch treats to hand out to people. You know what I mean? So she was awesome.
Yeah.
Cyborg's a legend, man. You, man, that era of, like, when literally, I mean, you could see. It was so funny.
People were still hating on the sport at that time, too.
Yeah.
It was still during, like, you know, around, like, when everybody was thought, it's still cockfighting. It's still blah, blah, blah. You know, like, these are the pioneers that were, like, changing the way everybody was thinking about it.
She made her debut in Elite XC, and I'll never forget this. She fought Shayna Baszler in Stockton, California. And I was there. Me and Dan Stupp were both at that one. I never forget.
That's
like,
awesome.
Yeah, like Cyborg comes down. We'd like seen some clips of her or whatever. It was the first time you see her in person. And like, she gets up and like gets on the scales and like flexes. And literally like everybody in the media is just like looking at each other
like,
holy shit.
That's awesome.
It was great. Like, seeing her in person, it was unbelievable, man.
Yeah.
Stockton, California, 2008. Shout out to Dan Stupp, man. That was a long time
ago.
That's
awesome.
All right, let's talk about the UFC this weekend. It is a pared-down fight card, but I don't think anybody's got an issue with a 10-fight card.
Ooh.
I think it'll work out just fine.
In and out early, I think, what, first fights were on?
First fight's at 2 o'clock, main card at 4, so we should be wrapping up around 7.
Yep.
Yeah, so a short day, you know, hours,
like
that. You know, not the sexiest main event, Marcin Tybura versus Sergey Spivak. You know, it's a heavyweight fight. They're both ranked. It's a top 10.
Yeah,
but
top 10 fight.
But everything's on hold right now at heavyweight. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I think it's hard to get meaningful heavyweight matchups right now. You know, it is a rematch, and of course, I think the other part is these guys are not trash talkers by any stretch of the imagination. You know what I mean? They're both very respectful dudes. Yep. So it's just kind of one of those. It is an important fight, but it doesn't really determine anything because the division's stuck right now, and you're not going to get any big quotes out of it because these guys are not the kind to trash talk. But you were in the room with them today. Any thoughts on this heavyweight headliner?
I mean, I think it's a good scrap. And both fighters are quick to say that it's not the same fight. You know, you can't even look at that last fight. It was so long ago. It was like over 4 years ago. You know,
a lot changes
Sergey
in 4 years.
Sergey is now like 29 now, so he was like 25. Which in that sport is, at that time, was just super young. I mean, he was like a little pup, you know. So it went to unanimous decision, you know. So I think both of them are planning for, a complete different fight. Because even though you have that fight that happened before, so much time has passed. I think Marcin had like 8 fights since then or something like that. So a lot of things have changed their style. So it should be interesting. But, yeah, both guys are very respectful. Both guys understand that, you know, this – win, while it maybe doesn't, it's not sexy and you can't guarantee, a title shot, but it at least maintains the position. It maintains the fact that more than likely they're going to need another fight or two before to even get in that. But if you don't get a win here, you're kind of removing yourself from at least the immediate conversation.
Absolutely.
You know, so it'd be interesting. But yeah, neither guy was ready to talk crap, but both guys were very respectful of the other. But both guys realized that this fight's going to be very different than the first one. So I thought that was very smart and mature for, especially Marcin to be like, yes, I beat the guy, but that doesn't guarantee that I'm going to go in there and beat this guy again because it's a completely different fighter.
Yep.
It was so long ago. Sergey coming in right now, he's one of the highest rate takedown accuracy guys. So the guy gets the guys, people to the ground.
He does.
He's able to get his work. So it'd be interesting. I mean, if Marcin can keep the fight on the, standing, maybe throw those hands, but it should be interesting. It should be interesting.
Sergey is a slight favorite, according to the odds makers, and certainly I think that's accurate. It's not a big one. He's like -160. Not
which goes to show something, especially if you're getting a rematch on a fight that you lost, to come in and be the favorite, albeit a slight one. I mean, I guess that goes to show, how much you've improved, or what at least the popular favor,
Yep.
So I thought that was pretty good.
I did see, I guess, since I didn't do media today, this is my in-person research. I saw Tubora eating lunch at the UFC cafe when I actually yesterday I was at headquarters. I shot another episode for the DraftKings series. I don't think I'm allowed to talk about what fight it is, but another episode for their DraftKings series that's going to be released later this year. And as I was walking through the cafeteria to go shoot, there was Marcin Tybura and his team, all his coaches, and they were hanging out and having some food, and they were very nice. They waved, and how you doing? And
nice.
So there's my insight.
Did you note his hairstyle and just note that it was not the same as last time? And again, it did get brought up.
His hairstyle got brought up?
Well, this one, it was like, so you went and did something different. He's like, yes. I think he said something along the lines of like, yes, some mistakes were made last time. He's like, we did not make those mistakes this time.
I didn't catch that part.
But it was pretty funny. I'm telling you, man, he is a on the down low, a funny dude, And so, I mean, I loved the fact that last fight he was quick to sort of laugh about it and just be like, man, people hate this hairstyle I got. He's like, but hey, it is what it is, So he kind of joked about it. He's like, I didn't make those mistakes again.
That's
this
hilarious.
Time.
He's always a funny guy,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, he was really good. Really good.
Co-main event on this reshuffled lineup, man, it looks like it's going to be fireworks. Damon Jackson and Shepe Mariscal. Both dudes that love to scrap. I mean, Damon, obviously, we've been a fan of for a long time. Coming out of Fortis, he's always been great to us. And he's just – the dude fights. Like, he ain't quitting. You know what I mean? Like, no matter what, he's not quitting. And Shepe Mariscal, man, I mean, same thing. Just an absolute scrapper. I love, he was talking about today, when you're sparring with Justin Gaethje in there,
For 25 minutes, I was like, say no more, brother. That's all you have to say. When somebody says, how did you prepare? I've been training, 25 minutes with just engaging.
Yeah,
okay. Cool.
Well, we know what to expect there.
You're good.
These two dudes are going to scrap, man. So I think that could be a very, very fun fight.
That should be a lot of fun.
Obviously, I've always got my CFFC bias in place, but Danny Barlow, I'm anxious to see his return against the replacement in Nikolai Veritenikov. Danny Barlow, The dude is just an athletic freak, man. This dude is fun to watch fight, man. And that straight left hand down the middle, he's so fast and so powerful. If he lands on anybody, they're going night-night. So that should be fun. And Chris Gutierrez in there as well against Quang Lee, which Quang Lee, you know, a heck of a story, right? I mean, what a, you know, preparing for Contender Series and just never mind, why don't just make a UFC debut instead. Pretty cool.
And I asked him, and it's not just a one-off. He signed four fights.
Yeah.
You know, I was wondering, do you think they gave him contender money? Or do you think they did him a square and gave him a little bit more?
Nah, I bet they gave him standard bonus. Like standard rate. Like,
which would be what, 20?
No, 10. You're
talking about standard for contenders.
Yeah.
10 or 13.
No, standard for UFC contract. Because UFC Contender Series is 5-5.
No, it's. I think it's went up.
Has it gone in?
I think it went up a little bit.
Is
it
okay? I didn't know. Maybe I'm wrong then.
Maybe.
So
I feel like it went up, but maybe they didn't.
You know what? I haven't seen.
I feel like it started at 5-5, but I thought I got up to a point where it was like 10.
Really?
But maybe not.
I don't remember.
Maybe not.
But you think
that?
I don't think they'd put him on a contender series contract for.
Yeah.
You know, I think they'd give him his deal, just standard deal.
Which is awesome. They gave him four. I mean, I thought, you know, maybe two or something. You know, as a reward to, like.
That's why I think it's standard, because four fights is usually like the standard. So I'm sure that like they gave him standard money too. So
hope so.
Yana Santos, Chelsea Chandler's in there as well. Toshima Kazama versus Charlambos Gregorio, another CFFC veteran there. Carol Hosa, Panny Kianzad. I think there's going to be some decent scraps. Especially, man, that little three pack up at the top right before you get to the main event. I think we're going to be rocking and rolling.
Yeah.
After those three fights, so I think if nothing else, and that should be fun.
Like
I said,
ten fight card,
man. 5 hours. Yeah. That's going to fly by. So.
Be nice. We get a bunch of finishes and really fly by. Like let's just go. Let's go.
And then we get to start teeing it up for Contender Series. Get our Tuesday nights in.
I'm stoked. I love Contender Series.
I do too.
It's so much fun. It's just we get to sit, watch the fights, and then we interview a few winners, and then we go on home.
I love it.
It's in and out.
I love Contender Series. What's the picks update, by the way? How are you doing over there?
I'm down by one.
Down by one?
Man, I'm telling you, these PFL weekends just fucking kill me. But, yeah, Farah now is up by one. She was behind me in one, and I dropped two picks to her this time, so I'm still in second.
So Farah Hanoun is the –
Farah's on top.
Wow.
Good for her. So this one I think will help decide because right now I picked Sergey. She picked Marcin Tybura. A lot of people picked Tybura on our staff.
Really?
I know. I mean, granted, he's fighting on a different level right now. He's fighting on a different level, and I get that. But, man, I think Sergey's fighting on a different level too. But, yeah, I know we have that pick different. I can't remember if there's another one. So if I can come even in this one, then we still got some time. We still got some time to jump back up on top. As long as I'm in the game. As long as I'm up there.
Hey, man, that's it. But, you just got to be within striking distance. Yeah. You haven't started doing the Matt Erickson self-tank yet?
Not yet. But I like it because me and Farah, we're starting to – well, I think at one point, Baum, when he was at the lead, separated to like six. And I think me and Farah picked it up. I think we have like a five –
So y'all out ahead of the pack.
A little bit out there. So now if we can just maintain that, if we just keep it a one person race, it'd be nice.
I like it.
It'd be good.
That's awesome, man.
So we'll see. There's still a lot of time.
There's still a lot of time left.
I hate it when they keep throwing the PFL ones because I'm not as well versed in the PFL because I don't see them as often.
Right.
You know, a lot of people are like, oh man, you must research a bunch. I'm like, I don't. You know, I have the little things that I look at, but it's just when you see these fighters so much. You start to just get a feel for how they are on fight weeks and how they're going to be. And then you look at who they're recently fighting, how old they are, you know, what the size difference is, and then flip that for their competitor. And then you just trust the gut is all I've really done. I don't do crazy research. It's just the licks of being in front of them.
100%.
You know, just seeing that.
That's so valuable, especially when you
– It's a gut check.
When you do it frequently and, like, you know, like, their vibe and their energy and you're like
– How they're going to perform. I love it. Everybody's like, what's your secret? I'm like, bro, it's reps. Just sitting in front of these people 50,000 times and then you just get a good, decent feel on them. But
so
there's
true.
Definitely no science behind it. You know, I think that's the part where – so I don't kill myself if I don't do great. And I think that's why when the people do tons of research and then their picks don't go well
– That's hard, man. I feel
tough.
Like, man – Like, guys like Dan Tom, I know how much time he puts in it, right?
Oh, yeah.
But this sport is so volatile, dude. You know what I mean? Like, It's it, like to all the handicappers out there, yeah, and to like put so in like tough. So much tape study and research
if
analysis.
To just pick like the favorites every time, you would have a shitty record.
Uh-huh.
And that's how crazy this sport is. Yep. I mean, like, you for somebody to say, like, okay, obviously everything on paper, this should be the winner that night. Then come fight night, throw it all out the window. It's gone. You can have an inkling. It's so crazy.
It's the weirdest sport. Like, it's,
you would think if it was that easy, everybody would be winning money just going down and picking
favorites.
The favorites.
Yep.
Doesn't work
that way, man.
It's
so funny because, like, and you hear fighters talk about it too. It's like you can have the best training camp of your life and get knocked out, yep, and you can have like the worst training camp of your life and go out there and put on a fight of the night or performance. Yep. Like, it's just such a volatile sport, man. I feel so bad. Like I said, Dan, yep, Tom, man, I've seen that dude, how much research and hours.
That's
and
crazy,
that dude puts, yep, work in, you know what I mean? And it's just,
he's
like,
he's so hard on himself.
And
like,
so
I was
hard.
Like, bro, like, stop being so hard on yourself. Like, you can have as much knowledge as you can, and then the fucking universe is just like, ha ha, hold my beer.
Yep.
I got this. I got something for you, you know? So, yeah, it's tough. So, yeah, when people ask me, like, what's your secret? I'm like, bro, it's just, I don't have a secret. A lot of it's luck. A lot of it's luck, but a lot of it's just seeing the people in front of you and then just going with your gut.
That's it.
Because at the end of the day, if I either go with my gut or I go with my heart. My heart is when I usually homer.
That's
for
when
somebody,
you're wrong, and that's when you're
and
wrong.
That's when I'm usually wrong. But then usually, my gut. My gut's pretty good about it. But 100%. Yeah, there's no science.
That's great. Well, the non-science is working for you.
It's
so
working.
That's good. All right. Well, listen, I won't take up any more of your time. I know you got to be somewhere tonight, so we'll just wrap it up at that. Listen, I will have the and a half episode for everybody over at patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow. Go ahead and circle next Friday night for your calendars for the return of CFFC. Always appreciate everybody that supports us over there watching the events on UFC Fight Pass. We'll figure out what we'll do. Maybe either we'll, because the problem is we might have to go a day early if that's okay. I know it's real early
like
in the
Tuesday?
Week. Yeah, maybe so. Just because once I get there, we've got like some meetings and stuff like that. And so that's the reason I'm going
is a
day early.
Week?
No, next week is the Australia pay-per-view, right?
Okay, Perth. So I won't be there. So is that a media day on Thursday then? Or is that still on Wednesday?
Oh, that's there's can't remember. They're so a day ahead of us.
So they're it might be on it might be
Tuesday night?
Maybe so.
Yeah, maybe it'll start rolling in like Tuesday night.
Okay. So yeah, even if we have to go early, it is what it is. Or, I mean, if we could do well
later.
Or
let's start a contender series too, right, huh? I don't know if I have time to do it between contender series.
Oh, that's right.
We might have to contender series in the airport.
We'll figure it out. But, yeah, maybe we'll keep you guys abreast. But, yeah, we'll go early or maybe go a day later or something like that.
I mean, I said we were going to save it for the staff meeting. I'm sure the staff that's listening right now is probably like, guys, we were supposed to talk this out at the meeting that's clearly
scheduled.
Sorry,
guys, we're making executive decisions on the call.
Apologies,
I know we don't normally make these decisions on fight nights, you know. Normally recording nights we don't make.
But if you want to hit me back offline, we can circle back in like 2 weeks and throw a little Scott Coker's in there. Anyway, so, yeah, we'll figure that out. But, you know, we'll deliver because
We don't miss.
We're nearing that 500 straight weeks.
Oh, yeah. I love it. You're like, so big one. So we should probably get the staff together as well and start planning for that big, big 500, you know.
I wonder when I haven't even looked when it's going to be. Let's probably look at that.
What's the what are we at right now? 489?
We're so professional.
So we got
489. Yeah.
So roughly
let me do this on my calendar. This is phenomenal podcasting right here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. October 23rd?
Wow.
It's not that far away.
Halloween edition.
It's UFC. That's the week of UFC 308 in Abu Dhabi.
Oh, well, not be
which,
there.
Well, I'm not making that trip over there. So, yeah.
Maybe we'll do well, if we're not there, maybe we'll do a special, like, maybe we could do, like, a live stream watch-along. Maybe that'll
for episode
be,
number 500?
Maybe that'll be the thing, and maybe we can.
All right.
We can do it for the show, or we'll just do it for the fine folks over there at Patreon.
Team, everybody, team, I know you're
team,
listening right now.
Prepare for that start, live stream. Get that live stream ready. Let's do that. Let's go live for 500.
Go live for 500?
Why not?
All right. We'll do it.
Yeah. There it is.
I dig it. It's done.
There you go, team.
Staff, start working on the details. We'll send out some memos, some emails. You can get back to us.
Good thing we got a lot of time until then to change the minds.
All right. So that'll be coming up. Anyway, enjoy the fights this weekend. And go vote, WorldMMAAwards.com.
Yes,
go make sure you vote.
Junkie. And I'm torn. Vote with your heart. I mean, because we love Nolan.
Have to.
We love Hot Tea.
Right.
Aaron Braunstetter is a damn solid dude.
Solid, yep.
Who is it? Ariel? Who's the other one?
Carlos Legaspi is in there for the first time. He's great. I thought that was a great nomination.
It's a really, really good team. So, yeah, I mean, it's tough. I told Oscar and Nolan, I was like, I like you both. I'm just not going to vote. Or I told him I was going to vote for Aaron.
Just abstain for that category.
I'll vote for the Canadian.
I mean, the least you can do is abstain from that category. You're saying, like, true. I'm going to vote against. I don't want to vote between you, so I'm going to vote against you. Yeah.
I should probably abstain.
Just, if you're torn and you don't
pick.
You're terrible.
No. I didn't think of it that way, but yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I'm voting against them. Yeah, all right. I'll abstain. That's a good point. that's why we have these talks.
That's why we have it. Staff, get on that. Make sure that as you're completing his vote, that's an absence there. All right. Go vote. Thanks for listening.